Wow, an absolutely captivating two matches in the semifinals of the 2023-2024 African Champions League, which seemingly gives Al Ahly of Egypt and Esperance de Tunis slight advantages going into the second leg next week. Let's talk about it. Welcome to another episode of the African Five-A-Side podcast. I'm your host, Maher Mizahi. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by AfricasACountry.com. And today was, as you probably know, the first leg of the semifinals of the CAF Champions League first leg of the semifinals. The first match of the day took place at 2 p.m. Between TP Mazembe and Al Ahly in the DR Congo. The second match is the one that I want to talk about first. I think there's more interest, and tactically and in terms of narratives, it's more interesting to me. And that was Esperance de Tunis versus Mamelodi Sundowns. Esperance hosted the match. They played in Rades in Tunis. Remember, 27,000 tickets flew off the shelves, but we don't buy tickets off of shelves. We buy them online, and they were sold out within a matter of hours. And again, prior to this match, we thought that Esperance would win by a goal, and that's exactly what happened. They ended up winning 1-0 thanks to a goal from the Brazilian winger, Yann Sass. And the reason why we thought that, you know, on any given day, Mamelodi Sundowns are probably the better side, but the form coming into this match, between the fatigue and the accumulation of matches and some of the, I don't want to say negativity, but some of the discomfort that the coach Rulani Makwena was talking about in the press conferences, that sort of gave me bad vibes. And on the other hand, I saw that the kind of passion and the kind of good energy and how well rested Esperance de Tunis are, with, you know, almost no injuries. And I just felt deep inside of me that they would come away with a victory, which they did. So let's talk about it. First of all, fantastic tifo by the Esperance Ultras. Tunisian supporters were the first supporters from North Africa that formed ultra groups, and that are, therefore, I think it's safe to assume the first in Africa. And they do it very, very well. So, you know, one of the main messages was, you know, with our voice, we'll score goals, basically saying that the supporters are going to push them to a victory. Something that, you know, if you know anything about atmospheres in North Africa, you know that that's a very real possibility. They came in practically with the exact same, it's the exact same lineup that they had in the previous fixtures against Azek Mimosa. This is their, you know, habitual starting 11. The only change is that they brought in the Algerian winger Hussein Ghesh on the left wing instead of Andre Boukia, who tends to start matches. But other than that, same back four, same fantastic goalkeeper, Aman Lahmemish, the young Tunisian goalkeeper that's, in my opinion, was probably man of the match. Same midfield trio of Sha'la Litqa and Ahulu, and that Brazilian pair of Rodrigo Rodriguez and Yann Sass. It felt like, you know, in the opening minutes, that kind of energy from the tifo, from the supporters, gave Esperance a little bit of a jolt. But I didn't really think that Sundowns looked shell-shocked either. So it looked like Esperance were on the front foot, but they didn't look shell-shocked, Mamelodi Sundowns. But one of the things I noticed very quickly is, as Sundowns, you know, had more of the ball, and they did have more of the ball in this match, even though they lost, not to the levels of the last six matches where they had no less than 77% possession, but they still had, you know, the majority of the ball, more than 55%, I think, in this match, close to 60. One thing that I noticed is that Esperance de Tunis kept a very narrow defensive shape. If you have the time to go back and rewatch this match, and they're probably going to employ this tactic in Pretoria, so if you don't, just try and remember this. Look at how narrow the defensive structure, or you want to call it a shell, or you want to call it the shape of Esperance de Tunis when not in possession. Meaning, if you know, Sundowns are on the ball, and there's, let's say there's fullbacks wide, or wingers wide, or midfielders wide, the widest Esperance players are not going to go and chase them out there. And the reason why they do this, you know, when you have a coach like Miguel Cardozo, who's, you know, probably studied Makwena like crazy. We saw the embrace they had during the press conference. It seems like these coaches know each other. You know, the wider you get, the more space you leave in the center of the pitch. And Sundowns are a team that like to construct narrowly. they don't like to, it's not Pep Guardiola of 2007 where he has, you know, Dani Alves and Jordi Alba over here and they're trying to stretch you as wide as possible. No, instead Sundowns, it seems like they stay a little more narrow and they try to multiply the amount of passing lines that they can actually procure. And as a result, when Esperance as a defensive unit refuses to stretch out wide, they're going to try and stop any between the lines passes that Mamelodi Sundowns are so, so good at. I think it was probably a very intelligent way of defending against Sundowns. I think it was the right thing to do. Even, you know, at times, let's say, I'm just going to say a random name. Let's say Mudau has the ball on the right flank of four Sundowns. If you look, almost all of Esperance de Tunis' players, almost all 11, would be on one half of the pitch. Just to show you that they were like not even worrying about the ball being switched over their heads on a long diagonal. It seems like they knew that, you know, Sundowns were going to have to, the only way they're going to progress the ball is between the lines. And we have to close that. We have to suffocate that as much as possible. Yeah, anyways. So I thought that was a very smart way of defending if you're Esperance de Tunis. Ribeiro hits the post 16 minutes in, Lucas Ribeiro. Actually, I think the goalkeeper, Amen Lahmemish, gets fingertips to it. 38th minute, Esperance de Tunis have a very, very good chance, and it comes from really Ronwen Williams being sloppy with the ball, trying to pass it out, doesn't really work. And then I believe Esperance de Tunis hit the post, and then the ball is cleared off the line by Lunga. So that was one where I thought, you know, it's one of those where your uncle or your father or your grandfather watching, you know, modern football will never understand it. Why don't they just clear the ball? Why don't they just boot it over everybody's heads and get rid of the danger? Why are we playing with the ball, in our own six-yard box? We don't have as big of a problem with it, but, you know, the conservatives in football will not like that at all, especially your uncle and your dad. Other than that, I thought overall it was a pretty balanced first half. I thought Esperance de Tunis were the slightly better side, but Sundowns, like I said, they didn't look out of place at all. And they were doing a good job of holding on to the ball. After the second half, Lucas Ribeiro turns Yacine Merieh inside out. Such a good dribble. And you think, you know, when he does that, I think to myself, man, why doesn't he play a little bit deeper? Maybe not as a striker, but maybe as, you know, an attacking midfielder. I know you have Temba Zwane, who had, in my opinion, you know, a decent match. Why not play him in that position? But then you don't want them, you know, running into one another. You can't really replace one with the other. But he turns the Esperance defender inside out, passes the ball to Lorch, and Lorch blazes over. And when he did that, I thought, man, this is kind of why you bought Temba Nkosi-Lorch, isn't it? Like, matches like this, so much experience. He should be converting some of the chances that he had. And he missed, you know, two, three big scoring opportunities, which made me ask the question, should we have started with Peter Shalulile, you know, in the traditional Ribeiro, Shalulile, and Zwane in between a little bit deeper, that front three? I think when I asked a friend from South Africa, he told me, I'm not sure. He said Shalulile only has a single goal this year. Lorch provides more, you know, in terms of dribbling. But me personally, I think in a match like this, I would have rather used Shalulile, because I know he's not in great form, but he only needs half an occasion to score a goal. I know he, in this stage of the competition last year, he missed a huge sitter against Wydad Casablanca, and that was probably one of the reasons why Sundowns didn't get to the final. But still, I think I would have preferred to have Ribeiro, Shalulile, and Zwane as the front three instead of Lorch. Lorch, in my opinion, still hasn't really proven why Sundowns made the effort to go out and get him. I was expecting more. I haven't watched every Sundowns match, but me personally, I was expecting more. The 49th minute was Ribeiro that set up Lorch, and he missed. And 55th minute, it was Temba Zwane with those nifty feet, back heels it to Lorch. This time it's saved by Amen Lahmemish. It was shot directly at him. And here I just want to stop and say, credit to the goalkeepers in both matches, but especially Amen Lahmemish from Esperance de Tunis and Mustafa Shubir from Al Ahli. These are two young North African goalkeepers that, in my opinion, we're going to be seeing for the next decade. Mamish, today was his birthday for Esperance de Tunis. He's 20 years old. Al Ahli's goalkeeper, Mustafa Shibir, is 24 years old. They were a man of the match in their respective matches. And for them to do that at this stage of the competition, I just wanted to stop, give them a hat tip. And really, to finish it all off, in the 85th minute of the match, Mvala, the ball's rolled back to him. He smacks it cleanly, you know, perfect. And Mamish again gets a fingertip to it and pushes it over the bar. So hat tip to Mamish. I thought Sundowns looked a little bit better when Shalulile came on in the 70th minute and they started to exert more pressure. But by then, at the same time, is it because of his introduction or is it because Esperance were realizing, you know, it's time to shut things down, not take any more chances, go to Pretoria with a 1-0 lead, leave the ball to Sundowns? I can't, you know, credit it all to the substitution, but for the last 20 minutes of the match, I thought Sundowns looked a little bit better, but still, besides the Mvala shot, which was, you know, from 30 yards out, I didn't really think they created any clear-cut chances. In that period of the match. So overall, look, in this format of the competition, you know, in this format of competition, where away goals still count, losing the first leg away from home without scoring a goal, in my opinion, is the worst result you can have. Because now in Pretoria, if Esperance just score one goal, Sundowns are going to need three to advance. That's not a place you want to be in because anybody can see a goal at any time. You know, it's football. It can be a set piece. It can be a bad back pass. It could be anything. It could be an unfortunate injury at the wrong time. I remember Arsenal, Per Mertesacker churning, popping his Achilles tendon and the opposing team taking the ball in on a breakaway and scoring. So anything can happen in football. So you really don't want to be in this position where you need to keep a clean sheet or score three goals. But that's the position Sundowns find themselves in. And from what I understand, they have a match again in midweek now before the second leg. And it's a shame because, you know, this is for not only for a slot in the final of the Champions League, but this is also for, you know, an inaugural slot in the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup, which everybody's going to be talking about. There's going to be so many, you know, eyes and ears on that competition. So Sundowns are going to have really the biggest week, you know, of their season here. It's going to be find a way to manage the midweek match, come away without any injuries, come away rejuvenated, refreshed somehow, and then at least get a goal and try to keep clean sheet against Esperance and see if you can slip your way into the final. But you can for sure expect that Esperance are going to be 100% focused. They're probably going to employ the same defensive tactics. They're going to waste time. They know how to get results in these situations. So I still think they're slightly more favored, but we're going to preview that match again, and we'll see how I feel again in 4 or 5 days' time. For the first match of the day between Mazembe and Al Ahli, I thought, surprisingly, Al Ahli looked like the more energetic side in the first 5 minutes. Again, the two sort of words that I wanted to define these two teams with, I remember I said, Mazembe were energy and Al Ahli were poise. But for the first 5 minutes, Al Ahli like had a few decent occasions. I thought, wow. But then by 15 minutes played, Mazembe settled in. The thing I would say is that, you know, against Petro de Luanda, one thing that I noticed and one thing that I talked about was they were creating a lot of opportunities in Lubumbashi via diagonals. Mazembe were either via to Oscar Cabuit or to Joel Beya or to Patient Mwemba, Glody Lekonza, all of these attacking players, you know, they would do a good job of, you know, isolating the fullback, running inside of them, getting the ball played in and having a big chance in front of goal. Against Al-Ahli did a good job scouting and they didn't really have those same long diagonals. They were still playing a lot of long diagonals, as is the style of Mazembe. But the long diagonals were more long, hopeful, I don't want to say aimless, but long, hopeful diagonals in the air rather than through balls on the ground, splitting the defense. And as expected, Mazembe were a little too wasteful. We knew they were going to create chances. We talked about that. But we also said that there's a good opportunity. There's a good chance that they're going to waste a lot of these chances. And that's what they did. Again, credit to the goalkeeper, Mustafa Shubir, who was the man of the match, and he pulled off some absolutely spectacular saves. But the amount of times that Mazembe found themselves within 10 yards of goal, and you just have to at least hit the target, and they blaze it wide or over, was unforgivable. And here's, you know, probably going to be their undoing. They're going to end up being, in my opinion, a side that's remembered in this Champions League, you know, as a side that's very energetic. Again, they can run you off the pitch. They're the most athletic side in the competition. A lot of young talent like Kabwit, like Mwamba, like Fili Traore, like Ibrahima Keita, the right back from Mauritania, very, very good player, like the goalkeeper. So they have a lot of great talent, but lacking, especially in the attacking third, lacking technical quality. You know, when you're in front of goal, at least make sure you get a shot on goal. Keep your, some of it could be mental, whether it's, you know, that poise that Al Ahly have, or it could be technical. It could be a combination of both, which it probably is. And that's really what my main conclusion coming away from this match for Mazembe. I thought it was a good thing that Al Ahly were proactive with halftime substitutions. They brought on Percy Tau, and they brought on Matuelli for Ahmed Nabil Koka. They did a good job of substituting early. Where else did I have here? There was a pretty frenetic pace, you know, starting from the 75th minute, which was surprising. I thought Al Ahly would be a little more conservative. But by the 80th minute, I wrote here, in the 80th minute, injuries and substitutions killed the pace. Ahli goalkeeper Mustafa Shubir, and the 80th minute, took a 15-second goal kick after picking up the ball and placing it on the in the six-yard box. So he placed it, and then it took him 15 seconds to kick the ball. So Al Ahly, it seems like in the last 10 minutes, let the game die down. But there was a period between the 60th and the 70th minute, or 60th and the 80th minute, I should say, where it was pretty frenetic and both sides were chasing, and it was a little entertaining. One major conclusion I would have for Al Ahly is that, again, like, if Al Ahly win this competition, I'm going to be on one hand surprised and on the other hand not surprised, because this is one of the, in my opinion, one of the weaker Al Ahly sides I've seen in a very long time. Like, they have a Palestinian striker, Wissam Abu Ali, who's okay. Today they played with Reda Slim on one side, who's a good Moroccan winger. Was the best Moroccan winger in the league last year for Far Rabat. But on the other hand, Ahmed Abdel Qadir on the left wing, again, decent player, but okay. Amr Suleya, Akram Tufik, and Ahmed Nabil Koka in midfield. Again, this is like a good midfield, but that's not an Ahli midfield. Ahli midfield is Aliou Dieng, Marwan Atiyah, Imam Ashour. These are, you know, continental level. They're class, you know, they're at the very top. So I'm not really impressed by Al Ahly, but at the same time, they make it look easy. And it's one of those things, it's like, again, talk about collective psychology and all of that, but like, big clubs, they have big mentalities. And Al Ahly, I thought, did a great job today of at least going, keeping things, you know, in, they're still in an advantageous position going to Cairo. So we'll see. We're gonna conclude this video because I think we're, yeah, nearing 20 minutes. And like I said about Sundowns, that the worst thing you can be is in a position where you lose the match and you didn't score an away goal. Al Ahly are in a weird one. The 0-0 one is always weird, right? Because on one hand, you're going home and you're expecting to win at home. You're almost always going to win at home. But you cannot come away with a 1-1 draw or a 2-2 draw. So they're going to have to be careful. But again, this is Al Ahly we're talking about. The way they dispatched today's challenges in terms of injuries with ease was absolutely mind-blowing in a sense. So yeah, we're going to leave it there for now. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for the recent subscriptions to the channel. Thank you for all the kind words and the comments. We went 2 for 2 for predictions again. So we said that Esperance were going to win by one goal. We said that the Mazembe Al Ahly match could go either way. Either side could win 3-0, but we thought they were going to draw. I said 1-1, but it finished 0-0. So feeling very good about my predictions. We haven't been wrong since the quarterfinals. And we hope we can keep that streak going into next week for the second leg of the semifinals. Until then, keep it locked into the African Five-A-Side podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak soon. Peace.